This is In My Opinion with your host, Ray Dosky.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to In My Opinion. I'm your host, Ray Dosky, here at Nashville Sports Radio WNSR. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today we're talking Week 6, all the action that happened this past weekend in college football, the NFL. We are less than 24 hours away before the kickoff of the NBA season between, I believe it's the Bucks and the Nets. And then later than tomorrow night, you've got the Lakers going against Golden State. And I'll talk about the NBA later in the show. But right now, let's talk about Week 6, which is supposed to conclude tonight between the Buffalo Bills coming to Nashville against the Tennessee Titans. And I don't know if you guys have been able to see out there on ESPN land and what have you, there's a ton of Bill fans here in Nashville. I've talked to friends. I've seen people out and about in the Nashville area with their blue and red Buffalo Bills garbs. They are here, and they are ready to watch their Bills go against the Tennessee Titans. Boy, these guys are well traveled. They've been here since Friday. There was, like, tweets out there of them flying out here, and they are definitely representing here. And I've been talking to guys here, even spoke to Zach and here Bruno here at the Nashville on the afternoon stretch between 4 to 6. And I was kind of like asking them, what do the Tennessee Titans need to do to solidify a victory against the Buffalo Bills? Because they're going to be without their starting corner tonight. Defensively, I have zero confidence in them whatsoever in stopping this Buffalo juggernaut offense. But if you were to ask me what they need to do, there are several things. One, you need to run the ball with Derrick Henry. You just need to run the ball with Derrick Henry. That is your bread and butter. You need to control the clock. You need to run the ball. Keep Josh Allen and that offense off the field as much as possible. Secondly, keep Ryan Tannehill upright. You need to protect the guy. Limit the turnovers. You win the turnover battle, most likely you'll win the game. Because the Tennessee Titans have not looked great on that offensive line all season. They've given up multiple sacks in multiple games. It's just like, I just don't understand. I've talked about this in my past podcast. In order for you guys to win and be able to effectively run this offense, you got to keep Ryan Tannehill upright. I mean, you just can't give up these stupid sacks. You got to limit the turnovers. You get a Julio Jones back, it's going to help. A.J. Brown, who showed up, I think it was on Friday or Saturday, who's been dealing with a hamstring injury, but he did practice all last week, came up on as questionable over the weekend due to an illness. Just came out of nowhere. But as of about an hour ago, he said that he's going to be, you know, suit up and he's playing tonight. And we saw this once before last year where he was questionable and had all these injuries, whatever. And last year came against Buffalo when Buffalo was heavily, heavily favored to win that game. And Tennessee came out and smacked him in the mouth. And there's a fun stat. Tonight, Buffalo's favored by 6 points over the Tennessee Titans. Mike Vrabel's 6-1 when he's a 6-point underdog. So who knows? Zach feels like there's something eerie in the air. There's something going on that there might be able to pull a victory against the Buffalo Bills. I don't see it. I don't believe it. I feel like this is a different Tennessee Titans team. I still have Buffalo winning, probably in a 38-21 type game. I feel like it's not going to be even close. I think Josh Allen and that team is playing lights out. They're kicking on all cylinders. While Tennessee Titans is still dealing with lagging injuries on both sides of the ball, mainly on the defensive side, I just don't feel like they're going to be able to keep up with that juggernaut with Buffalo. It all predicates on Derrick Henry. If Buffalo can't stop Derrick Henry, then the game might be closer than we expect. If they can stop Derrick Henry, it's going to be a long night for Tennessee fans and that team. I really do. But let's talk about this past weekend. Let's talk some college football. I don't know if you guys saw, and this is what was really strange, the Ole Miss Tennessee last weighing minutes of or seconds of that game, where they were moving the ball possibly to win it and got some bad calls, some crazy stuff, and all of a sudden, like, the fans decided to throw, like, debris all on the field, where today the SEC fined the Tennessee school $250,000. And said that we'll threaten you if this happens again to take away your liquor license. Really? You think $250,000 over this is going to stop what's going on now? They pissed $250,000. It means nothing. You charge them $500. find them $1 million means nothing. In terms of their TV share, it's like around $43 million per team. And just shares alone, they're not worried about the fine. Now, if you would say, oh, we're going to stop the game, it's over, whatever, because all of a sudden, because we saw there was an image on the game that night towards the very end where Lane Kiffin almost gets hit by a little golf ball. Imagine that golf ball hit. Man, we'd be talking about something completely different tonight on In My Opinion. Because now that's cause of concern. But in terms of all this, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. It's going to be, these kids are going to act the same way. These kids come in and they're basically pre-gaming prior to the game. You think they're really doing two beers a game, which is why I think the limit right now is like it's two beers per person at a game. You think they're really going at two beers? You think they're getting drunk? No. These kids are coming in already housed before they come to the game. It was going to be rowdy. It was going to be crazy. It was great because the energy was there. I mean, that stadium was packed. And they were the volunteers were there at the very end. But couldn't pull a victory out. I mean, you had a quarterback, Milton, that came out and ran it like right with 0 seconds left. Like literally within like what, 12 yards of the end zone? Like what kind of play was that, dude? You should be more concerned about that, guys. But like I said, this is not going to change anything. I wanted to just give my two cents. This is not going to change anything about what happens in college football. Nothing's going to happen. It will continue to be this way. You can find them as much as they can. I think the next biggest in terms of like TV shares is like the ACC around 30, 34 million. So they're not really worried about being fined, what have you. So this will continue on. So that's just college football. That's just fans. That's just the environment. That's just in any stadium, college football wise, especially in the SEC country, that's expected. Fans are loyal. They are committed to a T. So, yeah, just expect more of the same. Don't be surprised if this happens again. NC2A shouldn't be surprised if this happens again. The SEC should not be surprised if it happens again. In other SEC news, Coach O, this guy's hilarious to me. Him and the LSU athletic director decided to have a meeting, and they said they're going to part ways towards the end of the season. Not surprised. You went 15-0, and then you went 9-8. Like, you just were the same team over the last couple of years, just not being able to, you know, to sustain that type of that success that you had when you won that national championship just, what, 3 years ago, what have you? If you were to ask me, I'm trying to find the words for it. If you ask me, Coach O's done with coaching. He's done everything he possibly can. He coached at the highest level, basically won a national championship. He's coached everywhere. It's time for him to done. He's made nice little buku money. He's got like $8 million this year. I think they're going to pay out the rest. He even came out and said like he might be able to buy like a hamburger or what have you. But let's be real here. The reason why all this stuff got happened is because of his off-the-field antics. It's just his sexual encounters, like with being women and stuff. I think there was an encounter where I saw a tweet where he said that he went up to a lady who said that, hey, you look like you work out. And she's like, yeah, I do. And they start trying a conversation. And the lady's like, well, I'm married. And he's like, well, what does that have to do with anything? Not only was she married, but she was also pregnant. And it turns out the person that he was trying to holler at was someone who was a part of the LSU like alum. Like he was a high ranking official. Well, guess what, Coach O? You kind of sealed your fate. Now, you'll be out. But guess what? You won a national championship at the highest level, coached many, many years. You've made millions of dollars. You can retire and do whatever the hell you want. Do I see him coaching again? No, because there's nothing for him to do anymore. Who's going to bring him? Who's going to bring Coach O, who's funny at times, to a school? I mean, he's just, they're not going to, the answer's not going to happen because all this started happening after he got that national championship. Got a divorce from his wife and started to bring, I think I saw a post, he's going to start bringing like his girlfriends to practice. It was over the summer. This guy cracks me up. But no, Coach O, you're done. Retire. Walk in Atlanta Fields with your millions of dollars. Go get your hamburger that you feel like you can afford now and live out your days. You have done everything. There's nothing left for you to do. Coach O, I salute you. See you later. It's been fun. Thanks for the memories. You gave the LSU another championship banner. They're happy, and that's it. What world are we living in right now that the Cincinnati Bearcats are ranked number 2 in college football? You've got Georgia, Cincinnati, I believe it's Oklahoma, and then Alabama at 4. And people ask me, like, hey, Ray, do you think that Cincinnati is going to be part of that championship playoff? Well, let's see. Right after them, you've got Michigan State. You've got, I forget the other, I believe it's like Texas A&M. Like, you have a plethora of, oh, Ohio State, waiting in the wings, if you will. Can Cincinnati compete for one? Yeah. They have the caliber. They have the players. If there's any year for them to be able to compete, it will probably be this year. Unfortunately, the brass, in terms of leadership brass, the bigwigs, if you will, are not going to want Cincinnati in that playoff because it just does not make money. It makes no revenue to have Cincinnati with these other juggernauts of the Oklahomas and the Georgias and the Michigan States. I mean, the Alabamas. Heck, Kentucky, who probably played the best against Georgia than any other team playing against Georgia this year, should actually, they, I mean, let's be real. They have a case to be in that playoff committee. If they, let's say they go 11-1 the rest of the season, of course, you know, Georgia's going to be on top of them. But let's say they were to finish the season 11-1 or 10-1, what have you. They definitely have a compelling case to be in that playoff contention. That, I mean, they smacked Florida in the face. Then they came back, played Georgia really well. Yeah, I know that Georgia won convincingly, but still, they scored the most points over any other team going against Georgia, and they played them pretty well. So I feel like they have a compelling case. Michigan State might be one of those teams because they both have to play one another. Ohio State might creep up, get into that fourth spot, and Alabama is Alabama. Oklahoma looks like they've kind of figured out their quarterback situation. They're looking like they're hitting all strides. They totally looked awesome this weekend. And then we know Georgia. We know Georgia's a juggernaut. As for Cincinnati, even though as well as they're playing and that they're undefeated, I just feel like they're going to be the outside looking in because I feel like the leadership brass in terms of the selection committee will not want to have Cincinnati in there because it's just not good for TV. It's not good for fans. It's not good for revenue. They're not going to do it regardless of how good the team is. And that kind of sucks. But that's where we are. That's what I see. I could be wrong, but that's just my case. So let's go ahead and recap the NFL this past weekend. And what I mean by recap, I'm talking about a little bit of A-Rod and...
It's Rodgers running for the score. Right on cue, Joe.
Yes, that's right, Bears. Aaron Rodgers still owns you. I started laughing when I saw that reaction after he scored that running touchdown towards the last few minutes left of that fourth quarter. And I was like, wow, this guy really just decided to just to say that. And Chicago fans must be like, yo, for real? And let's not forget. He came out earlier in the week. He said out of all the teams that he would not play for, there's only one on his list, and that's the Chicago Bears. Poor Bears. They have a good team. I don't know why A-Rod got so much hate for the Chicago Bears, but hey, he doesn't want to play with them at all, and he made it known because he did his little discount double-check championship belt little celebration after he scored that running touchdown, followed by like, I still owe you. I still own you. A-Rod, yeah. And it's so crazy. It just feels like it was just yesterday. Everyone was ridiculing A-Rod and this season and how he lost that first game. It looked like he was just trash and the Packers looked like trash and they were just done for, whatever. But yours truly, Ray, here on In My Opinion, was like, nope, that's just an overreaction. They'll figure it out. And they did that exact thing. The following week against Detroit Lions, they just skunked them. And now they're on a 5-game winning streak. And A-Rod and that Packers team look so competitive. They look like they're just having fun. They're having so much fun. A-Rod looks like he's just having so much fun. All that talk about the Packers and they're just donezo and the last dance, it seems like they're just driving off and everything just seems to be in that further distance in the rearview mirror. Like they're just like, oh, you know, that was just yesterday. That was a long time ago. I don't remember that game. Big difference from the week one to week six now, isn't it? Yep. Packers look good. I mean, he played a solid game. Now, his stats didn't show great. He had two passing touchdowns for a little over 200 yards, and he rushed a touchdown. But it's never like the Bears were really threatening, you know, against the Packers. They played them tough, but, I mean, that's expecting every division rivalry, especially the Bears-Packers. We all know how much the Bears fans hate Aaron Rodgers. We all know how much Aaron Rodgers dislikes the Packers. I mean, the Bears. So the setting was set, and they decided to hash it out. And it's another victory with A-Rod, who has completely owned the Bears since he's come in the NFL. And I'm just loving A-Rod. I think he's playing with a chip on his shoulder, and he's just having fun. And I expect this momentum to continue. I just love what I see. I love A-Rod. I like to see when A-Rod's playing good football, because I think it's good for the NFL. I think it's good for the Packers. I think it's good for the NFC, because that NFC is loaded. And I'm about to go into this NFC loaded conference right now. You look at the Cowboys. Is it safe to say that the Cowboys are now Super Bowl contenders? They're not kind of quietly like low-key flying under the radar on teams. No. What's crazy is that they almost lost to this Pats team. And I know that Trayvon Diggs, he got that interception. But you can't go and say, like, this guy's the best corner, even though he's got six interceptions, and then next thing you know, he gets burned for a 75-yard touchdown right after. Like, that just looked bad. Are the Cowboys great? Offensively, fantastic. They will live and die by Dak Prescott. Don't give me Mike McCarthy. And look, I'm not a Cowboys fan. I've spoken many times how I'm a Washington fan, which I'm going to talk about later in that debacle there, in that organization. But I have to give credit where credit's due. Dak Prescott, since he's been drafted, the biggest difference I've seen with this guy is his accuracy has gotten better since his first year. I remember his first year when he came in, he was overthrowing players. He was underthrowing, just kind of like off targets. But he's worked so hard. He's worked so hard to work on the accuracy. Like, he's just, like, the throws he's making are just beautiful balls. And he's the only, I think, out of Dallas Cowboys franchise history. We're going back to Tony Romo, Roger Staubach, even Troy Aikman, who've had a total of 400-yard passing games. Dak Prescott already has nine. He's already tied all three of those guys for most 400-yard passing games in Cowboys history. The guy's playing lights out. He's tops in QBR, passing yards, passing touchdowns. He's up there. The only thing that I worry about the Cowboys is, even though their defense is playing like they are just playing out of their mind, is the fact that their pass defense is one of the worst in the league. They need to shore that up. So what happens is that Cowboys team goes into a literally a shootout week in and week out. Now, not for the bad teams, but more or less for like the good teams. The good teams, yeah, expect them to go in a shootout. We saw that with the Buccaneers. The only thing that I didn't see with a shootout was when they played against the Chargers, which I thought was going to be like a banner of a game, but that actually being a 17-14 game. I didn't expect that. But Eagles, they were there. Carolina, kind of there. Patriots, put up 29 points. Tied the game. Mac Jones, I mean, he's rolling along. He's probably he's making a case for Rookie of the Year behind Jamar Chase. And, I mean, Trevor Lawrence looked good last week against the Dolphins, who I did not have him winning. But, yeah, Patriots were able to push the limits with the Cowboys because the fact that their pass defense is not that great. It's not. So that is the only reservation I have about the Cowboys being a true Super Bowl contender. A true Super Bowl contender is due to the fact that they are not defensively that great. They're probably in the middle of the pack, which is probably all they need. They probably just need to be a middle of the pack, and that's good enough for them. And then they're able to win with their offense, which they've shown. CeeDee Lamb playing out of his mind. Amari Cooper, taking a back seat. Schultz, tight end, stepped up. Zeke, fountain of youth. And Zeke was hurt this past weekend. But then you have Tony Pollard. You've got a nice little blend of like that 1-1A in terms of backfield like help. You look good. That offensive line looks healthy. Looks like they're in sync, and they're giving Dak time to pass. They're making life a lot easier for Dak. But in order for this Cowboys to be a real true Super Bowl contender and go far in the playoffs, it lives and dies behind Dak Prescott. That's it. Don't rely on the defense. Defense will be able to make a couple plays, whatever, but this Cowboys team will live and die by Dak Prescott's hand. who, by the way, is a 13% chance of winning the Super Bowl. So they've kind of gone up a little bit. Then it follows me to the Browns and their mishaps going against this Chargers team, who I thought they were set up beautifully to beat this Arizona Cardinals team. The setting was there. Your head coach, last minute, out, COVID, not going to have your coaching staff, two other coaches, three other players, going to Cleveland. Now, I know Chubb was out, but they still had Kareem Hunt. But no, Arizona stifles Baker Mayfield over and over and over again. And what we all were under the impression that the Browns have the number one offensive line, who are missing their starting tackle, but they have one of the best offensive line because we've seen Bill Callahan do this for many years with the Raiders, with Washington, with the Cowboys. He is a O-line genius. He's able to make things work. No matter who's playing what, he's able to scheme up as properly as he can. Unfortunately, there was too many injuries. And Baker Mayfield spoke about that. Because you ask yourself, what's the true reason? Well, who's to blame for this 3-3 start? You could say Baker Mayfield, who showed up in a sling, you know, after their post-game interview, after the Arizona-Cleveland game, where he said, like, yeah, it's not severe. I feel like I can go play. You know what, Baker? Maybe you just need to take some time off, dude. Let the backup quarterback get it. You heal up. Because you do not look healthy. You look nervous. You look out of sync. You don't have any players. Kareem Hunt's going to miss the 3 weeks. Chubb, we don't know how long he's out. Odell Beckham Jr. was hurt in that game going in Arizona. Came back in the game. Jarvis Landry's still hurt. You just don't have your pieces there. But I don't want to use injuries as an excuse of why Baker Mayfield's playing poorly. Because this is the NFL. There's injuries everywhere. Because if you think about it and you try to dissect this, you say, hey, Baker Mayfield needs a wanting a contract after the year. I'm the GM. Okay, how much do I sign up? What's the price target I can give? What can I offer Baker Mayfield? What is he worth? You look at guys like a Justin Herbert, who's younger than him, who's only getting better. You look at a Joe Burrow, who's looking up better than him. You look at Kyle Murray, who's already better than you and came a year after you did, looks better than you in the NFL. All these players are looking better than you are. Now, granted, you're on these commercials, whatever. Lamar Jackson. If you want to talk about injuries, let's talk about injuries. Lamar Jackson lost three of his running backs. Does not have the talent that you have defensively on that team. You guys probably one of the best bookend tackles in all of NFL. Garrett and Clowney. You got probably some of the best corners. Yes, Baltimore has Humphreys. But other than that, you in terms of talent-wise, offensively, you're there. You have a better running back committee than they do in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson is probably the most dynamic player in the NFL, and he's able to do everything for that team. Like I've been telling you since the entire season, guys, who've been listening to this podcast, he's a QB1, RB1, RB2. He's the Jack of all trades. He's the most dynamic player in the NFL. He's probably the best player in the NFL right now. Because this MVP race is going to be nuts. If you look at this MVP race, you got Lamar, you got Dak, you've got Josh Allen, you got Tom Brady, and in the wings, you probably have two sleepers. You've got Matthew Stafford and Justin Herbert as your sleepers. Because we all know that the NFL loves selecting quarterbacks as their MVP. Even though Derrick Henry should have won it last year, but I'll root for him. Patrick Mahomes? No, he has not looked MVP status at all this year. And like I told you, I'm going to talk about the Pat Mahomes and the Washington little saga next. But what Baltimore did against that Chargers team, coming in both 4-1, both riding that four winning they're just kicking all cylinders. Lamar Jackson just tore him up, running. Then 200 yards pass. I mean, that team just loves playing for this guy. And I asked myself, do the players love playing for Baker Mayfield? Players love playing for Dak Prescott. Players love playing for Justin Herbert. Players love playing for Matthew Stafford. But do they love playing for Baker Mayfield? That's where I feel like that is where the niche is. Do the Browns players feel confident that you're going to be able to win them out. No, because the problem is that, and I even said this in past podcasts, that Baker Mayfield is probably equivalent to Kirk Cousins. I scratch that now. Kirk Cousins is better than Baker Mayfield. Kirk Cousins is better than Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is teetering around average, if that, as an NFL quarterback. So I don't want to hear about injuries or this, because this is the NFL. We all teams deal with injuries. You make what you can work. You try to do what you can. You have other players. The next player up stands up. Put them in the offensive scheme and then run with it. So this is probably going to be one of the best MVP races I've seen this entire season. Honest to God. I think it's going to be one of the best MVP races. Last year was more or less a three-headed monster between Lamar Jackson. It was Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Aaron Rodgers. It was that three-headed monster. Oh, and Aaron Rodgers. He's also a sleeper as well in the MVP race. So you've got seven quarterbacks there. That's that's good company. Last year was just a three-headed monster between Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers. So this should be a really interesting season. Speaking of Pat Mahomes, let's talk about Washington. Washington, the Kansas City Chiefs gave you every chance that any other team can ask for in terms of trying to win a game. Pat Mahomes did not look like Patrick Mahomes. Had three interceptions. And then you had the Sean Taylor jersey retirement. And I'm not going to even just sweat. I'm not even going to go back into the whole into detail about that retirement, because I think that's a bunch of baloney. It's a bunch of bullshit. Because the way this organization is, they're losing their fan base. They're losing the coaching staff. You need a complete rebuild. Like, you need to change everything. Ron Rivera is starting to look like his own way. The offensive scheme looks horrible. Like, you just don't have a quarterback. Antonio Gibson was supposed to be the second coming of CMC. He's looked like nothing. McLaurin has been, you know, he's been a bright spot on that team. And defensively, they look like they're unmotivated to play. So what did you guys do? Boom! We're going to go ahead and retire Sean Taylor's jersey this week after all the allegations and reports coming out about the whole cheerleader scandal emails that Bruce Allen was involved with in his time during Washington. So you decide to go and pimp out Sean Taylor to save your grace. Or are you there to just help motivate your team? Are you trying to help motivate your defense? Like, hey, we need to play with the heart that Sean Taylor had. You saw Chase Young come out there with like his little tape all around the face, his grim of his face mask on his helmet to emulate what John Taylor did when he said, dude, Sean Taylor was a different beast. I watched that guy play. He's by far one of my favorite, if not was my favorite player of all time for Washington. And there's a lot of players that come through Washington. A lot of players have come through Washington. Sean Taylor by far was a trendsetter. A player like him will never come around again. Ever again. First half, you guys came out, started playing defense. It was great. It was solid. And then what happened? Second half, you fell off. Kansas City just decided to score and wake up. Now, on the flip side of that, Pat Mahomes throws a couple interceptions. And if Kansas City was playing a solid team, a team that can move a ball offensively, defensively, middle of the pack, they would have lost that game. They'd be 2-4 instead of 3-3. But you play who's on your schedule, and you got Washington, and Washington gave you that victory because they felt like, and I was waiting for that game to really blow up in Washington's face. They're playing them tough. They're up 13-10, whatever. I'm like, wow, Washington's playing them tough. But I was waiting for the Washington team to disappoint me, because just like everything else that this franchise has done over the last 20 years, ever since Snyder took over, has been a disappointment. So I wasn't surprised. I expected it. I knew it was going to happen. It is what it is. It's over. Washington, regroup. The season's over. I don't think you're going to win. I think you're going to be, you could be an 0-5, 0-6 team right now. You pulled two victories out of your butt against the Giants and the Falcons. Other than that, you'd be 0-6 right now. Those two wins are very hollow wins. I don't care if it's an NFL wins and an NFL win. No, I just see the team that's on there looks unprepared, looks unmotivated, looks like they're just, like, I just feel like the pieces are not gelling together. Whether it be the coaching staff and the pieces, whatever. Tennessee fans can relate to me because they feel the same with their Titans team as well at times. But overall, it was a good weekend of NFL. We'll see what happens tonight against the Tennessee Titans versus Buffalo Bills. I'm really surprised about that. But I cannot wait because now we've got the NBA season kicking off tomorrow. Woo-hoo! Let's go, NBA season. So I was asked earlier today by Zach, who do you have as your winners? Who do you see as your overall winner? And who are you going to see as your Western and Eastern Conference representatives? In the West, we all know it's fully loaded. You got Utah, you got Phoenix, you got the Lakers, you got Golden State, who is healthy. You've got Denver. I mean, you've got a ton of stacked teams in the West. Then on the East, it's pretty much a few teams. You got the Nets. Nothing really impressed me. I'll talk about the Nets and what's going on there. Philadelphia, same story, just different players. Milwaukee, yeah. And then you've got Miami and you got a Chicago team that could really make some noise here. So if you look at the brass of the East, right, the Nets, I'm not picking the Nets. I just feel like with the whole Kyrie thing, whether they have Kevin Durant, the best player on the planet, and you have James Harden, I feel like that's still not enough. I feel like Kyrie is a missing piece because you need guard play. I feel like he's going to be a missing piece if he decides not to get vaccinated, which looks like he's at this point not going to. And he's asked for people to respect his privacy or his decision, which we will. But don't be surprised when people come back and tell you what they feel. And good for the Brooklyn Nets. I've told you, the Nets have already made their stance. They said either you're going to be a full participant or you're not going to be a full or any participant on this team. Because we just can't have you for half of the season on away games. So I'm not picking the Nets. I'm not going with the Nets. I'm not going the conventional way. I don't care if the NBA brass and media outlets like NBA and all the ESPNs. I don't care about what TNT and all those guys say. They're not winning it. They're not going to win it. Regardless of their 70% favorite, I don't give a crap. They're not winning it. Philadelphia, Ben Simmons showed up to practice today. Great, fantastic. Doesn't mean crap because you're going to go, what is it, your first game? Do you think the fans are going to react positively to you? Do you think it's going to be a welcoming, like, embrace? Nah. Far from it. My dude, Ben Simmons, you came out, said those stuff about the players. The players came back, Embiid came at you. You came back at Embiid. Doc Rivers, you know, just all this just back and forth between you and the 76ers organization. I want to trade. Your heart's not there. You're just playing nice right now because eventually you're going to get your way and you're going to get traded. Where? I have no idea. Maybe to the Spurs. Maybe to the Golden State Warriors. I don't know where you're going to go. I have no idea where you're going to go. I have no clue. But Philadelphia is not going to be your home for long. I'm calling it now. There's no way those fans in that city is going to embrace you like you once were. After what you said, like you don't like the fans, guess what? The fans don't like you. Do you not know the Philadelphia fans by now? You played there for several seasons now. They are as hard as they get. They are as hard as they get. Do you see what they do, the Eagle fans? The Eagle team? Yeah. If any fans you were to say anything to, that was the worst bunch of fans to say it to. You why would you pick the Philadelphia fan base? Are you crazy? So good luck with that, Ben Simmons. Why if you suit up and play a game, I have no idea if they do or not. If so, my prayers are with you, but I see you being traded. But in terms of who I like the Miami Heat. Kyle Lowry down in that Miami team who feels like they're always in the mix of playoff contention. I feel like they're the sleeper this week. I think they're going to make it to the championship this year. I think they're going to represent the East. I think it's going to be them going against Giannis and Milwaukee. I think that's going to be your two teams. And I believe that they have to play on all cylinders. They have Ben Adebayo. They have, you know, they have a ton of core players there that really feel like they can, you know, they're a well-balanced team that can really challenge Giannis and that Milwaukee team. And that might be a seven-game series. That might be one of the best series of the games if they go there. But I have Miami winning it in a nutshell. I don't see Milwaukee going back. I see Miami representing the East this year. In terms of the West, I'm not a believer in Utah. I never am. Never will be. Just never will be. And then you look at Phoenix. Phoenix was close last year. Phoenix was real close. Chris Paul, he almost was able to taste that ring, but couldn't get it done. And so I'm not seeing Phoenix. It has to be either Golden State or the Lakers. The biggest thing for Golden State right now, they were an 8 seed last year with just with Steph Curry alone. Now you get a healthy Klay Thompson back, and that's a pretty dangerous team. You've got a young team there. I feel like that you can make a lot of noise. They might be a top three team in the West. Still have the same coaching staff. I really feel like Klay Thompson, it was that missing piece last year. He basically was needed to take off a lot of pressure off Steph Curry, who was shooting 40 to 50 point night games night in, night. I think there was a stretch where he had like 40 point games for like 17 straight, 16 straight games. Steph Curry can't do it alone. You get Draymond Green, you got Wiseman, you have a ton of talented players there. In terms of the Lakers, I feel it's going to be a Golden State versus Lakers Western Conference Championship. LeBron came out and said, guess what? We're a new team. And we all know LeBron can build championship teams. He's done it in the past. Nothing new there. But he said it's going to take time for this team to click. You just added Carmelo Anthony. Oh, and you signed off Avery Bradley. Off waivers from Golden State, who opted out last year. He was with the Lakers last year. He opted out due to COVID. So he comes back to the Lakers team. Big defensive place right there. Big defensive piece right there for that Lakers team. Then you got Russell Westbrook. You got Anthony Davis. We all know to expect Anthony Davis. You got Howard. You have them. And you have Rondo. So you have the meats there. You have a well-balanced, young with veteran team there. But it's going to take time. And, don't be surprised if the Lakers take a month or two to kind of get them synced with one another. They have to gel with one another. LeBron's already came out and said it. Be patient. We will. We know it's a long season. We know it's a long season, LeBron. We know it's going to take time. But the only thing, but I have the Lakers winning against Golden State. And the reason why is because I just can't bet against LeBron. LeBron knows how to build championship teams. Last year, he dealt with injuries. He lost a lot of missing pieces. He had lost some pieces last year. And LeBron's not going to make it to the championship every year. Last year, he was burnt out towards the end of last season. I mean, they played in the summer, had a month off, and then he took time off, and, then got an early exit out of the NBA playoffs, gave himself time to recover through the entire, year. Once the season was over, then he's like, all right, you know what? I'm gonna give him a couple months, recover, regroup. He's come back, going into his 19th season. Guy looks like he's still playing in his third year. Guy looks like he's in phenomenal shape. His headspace looks good. He knows what needs done. He was able to get the pieces he needs to build that one last championship run. If he's going to retire after this year, who knows? But I have the Lakers going against Miami this year in the playoffs, and I have the Lakers winning again. That's just my guess. So call it what you want. I just feel that over time, it's just – the Lakers just look so phenomenally good. Like, they just look so good. I just know that we need to be patient with them in terms of, who's going to play best. Because if you think about how what they have to go against, that West team is loaded. I mean, we haven't even talked about Dallas. But see, the problem with Dallas is one missing piece. You have Jason Kidd, who's a player's coach. Almost signed up with Portland as their head coach. But decided not to do it. And unfortunately, because of that, now landing in Dallas has a pretty young core there. You got Doncic. You got Porzingis. Porzingis, I don't feel like, is a real great piece, if you really think about it. He's not really a great piece in terms of that team itself. But who knows what's to happen there. I just feel at times that maybe he might be the missing piece. Maybe he's able to bring the team together and say, hey, we're going to, gel these guys. Maybe I can get them going where they weren't able to go last year, and sky's the limit. But that's just hearsay. Then you look at Denver. You got Jamal Murray come back. He was a missing piece last year for that Denver team. We all know what the Joker did last year, won the MVP, was great last year. But same thing. Where does Denver go from here? Are they just more or less a middle of the pack, top four, top five team? Who knows? We'll see what happens there. Then you look at Utah. Utah, nothing impressive there whatsoever. I just don't feel like they're the greatest team to win the championship. Phoenix, I think that last year, Phoenix being able to play as long as they did, to go as deep as they did in the playoffs, definitely helps them. So they're able to gain that type of experience in terms of like where they want to go. The only problem is that what are they going to do with it from here? Because now you're not the hunted. You're not the hunter. You're the hunted now. You're not flying behind, you know, below the radar anymore to these teams. You're not going to catch these teams by surprise. So I just feel that that's where it's going to go. I feel like it's the Lakers, Miami. Who knows? Chicago might even surprise us. Shoot, they might surprise us. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. If Chicago comes out, they've got new three-headed team. They got DeRozan up there, whatever. The East has been soft, you know. Maybe they could finish it for like a six seed, what have you. We'll see what happens. Anything's possible. That's why I love the NBA season at any time. But that's all I got for you today, folks. Can't wait for the NBA action to start tonight. I mean, tomorrow night. Can't wait for the Bills-Titans. Hopefully it's a good game. Maybe I'd be surprised. It might be a closer game than I thought. But like I said, if you ever want to check me out, connect with me, please check out my Instagram. You can catch me there. You can find me at NFL.Junkie, J-U-N-K-I-E. You go in there. I talk about all things sports related. I talk about, you know, start sits. I give you content on like trades, evaluations. I just chop it up with pretty much anyone on that channel. We have a lot of fun. So please, if you have a chance, go check it out. If you like what you see, smack that follow button. You can also find me at Ray Dosky, WNSR, where I just throw out my random tweets, whatever. You want to chat, whatever. Let's chop it up. Some of the NBA season, let's talk about hockey. I haven't gotten into hockey. I haven't gotten about the Predators, who have not looked great yet. They have not looked great at all. But patience is the word of the year for the Predators. Who knows? They started off this way last year, and they were able to kick off all cylinders towards the end of the season last year. We were hoping for that same momentum to happen this year. It did not. So we'll see what happens. It's just a slow start. We'll see what happens. But we're going to get into some hockey talk, some basketball talk. And so, like I said, you can check me out on my Instagram page at NFL.Junkie. You can also find me on the afternoon stretch with Bruno and Zach talking all things sports. We're from 4 to 6, as well as on Twitter at Ray Dosky, WNSR. But until then, I'm Ray Dosky, and this is In My Opinion.